We want to welcome you back to the Word for Life radio ministry of Brookside Baptist Church. We've been looking at some of the names of God in our recent broadcasts, and I want you to just settle back and relax, knowing that your God is Jehovah. Now, you'll see that when you see the word Lord in all caps. He's called the Lord God. Exodus chapter 34 is our passage. It says, "The Lord said unto Moses, Hew these two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tablets the words that were in the first tablets, which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai. Present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. No man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount." So he hewed two stones, like unto the first. Moses rose up early in the morning, and went up unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud, and stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. That's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And the Lord passed by before him, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. And so that is the name for Jehovah, the Lord God. It speaks of his holiness, his righteousness, his justice, and his hatred for sin. It's mentioned over 6,000, in fact, almost 7,000 times in the Old Testament. It talks about his love for the sinner, because he makes provision for redemption. And wow, what an awesome story that is, and how desperately we need provision for our sin. Remember Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4. We have actually the first time that the Lord God is mentioned in the Scriptures. And it says, "These are the generations of heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens." And so there's the first mention. There's the first mention. Right in the beginning, right in creation. And it's derived from the Hebrew verb hava. It means to be or having being. And it was considered so holy that the Jews wouldn't even pronounce it. And so it became Yehovah, as the vowels in Adonai were then later added. Now, the definition of this word simply means the self-existent one. In other words, he's always been in existence. And Jehovah's often combined with other names portraying Jehovah in some other aspect of his character that is there meeting a human need, maybe like Jehovah Rapha, the Lord is my health or my healing, or Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my provision. But it's his name. And all the names of God in Scripture are derived from his works, except one, and it's this name, the name Jehovah. It simply denotes his eternal existence. In fact, Jehovah is also the name used to refer to his covenant relationship with his people. And it's really neat because he's basically trying to help the people to understand, I am the self-existent one. I'm the one that's always been in existence, and I will always be in existence. And guess what? I'm the one that's making covenant with you. And so when we consider the fact that we have a covenant-making God who always has been in existence, always will be in existence, what a testimony of just provision we have. Now, notice back in Exodus chapter 34, it talks about the God who reveals himself to us. And we see that in verses 5 through 7. He descended and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And it says he passed by before Moses. And then he said in verses 7, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, to the third and fourth generation. And so he reveals himself to Moses through his word. And then, of course, we know, as all of Scripture is pointing to the coming Son of God and salvation, and then through his Son and the rapture. So it's a God who reveals himself to us. Now, we go back to Genesis chapter 3. Remember Genesis chapter 3 when the serpent came and began to speak to Eve, began to try to deceive her? And it's interesting when you read the discussion that took place, neither Eve nor the serpent mentioned the name Jehovah in their conversation. Neither one of them did, because that refers to holy God. And Satan obviously didn't want to be reminding Eve that he was holy God. I don't know why Eve didn't mention him by name, because he's been mentioned by that name all the way through the creation story. But then the holy God comes on the scene. You remember when he came to Adam and Eve? It says in verse 8, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God," there it is, "walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" See, that's a good question for you today. Where are you? Now, Adam and Eve had hidden themselves because they were embarrassed, they were ashamed, and the same thing is true for you and me. When we have not done correctly, when we haven't done right, boy, it's so easy for us to hide, isn't it? It's so easy for us to not want to be around God. That's why going to church, you know, when you're not living for God, it is kind of like an ex-convict going back to a homecoming at prison. He's not interested in doing anything like that. And the same thing is true for us. When God is saying to you, "Where are you?" God knows where you are. But the question is, how far from a holy God are you living? See, that was the question. How far from peace, how far from joy are you living? You know, when you consider the fact that his name is Jehovah, holy God, that simply means that he's the only one that can make you holy. He's the only one that can give you peace and joy. But it's your choice to draw nigh to him. Then, of course, the conviction began to settle in. And Adam said, "Well, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And, of course, he said, "Well, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree wherein I commanded you that you shouldn't eat?" And then, of course, the man said, "Well, the woman that you gave me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The servant beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the servant." See, there you see the name Jehovah, 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 again and again and again. Because he is the one that brings about conviction. His call to you this morning is to one who may possibly be living his own life his own way. But God wants you to understand, he knows exactly where you are. And you're living too far away from God by choice. And so his voice is heard. And of course, that's what the Word of God is. It's the voice of God. Now, it's interesting how that Adam's response to God, Jehovah, was so clear. He said, "Well, I heard your voice, and I hid myself." You know, that's in verse 10. But then in verse 17 of chapter 3, Adam said, I listened to the voice of my wife. Now, here's the picture. Conviction always comes when we listen to somebody else's voice to please them and stop listening to God's voice. You see, many of us have friends. Many of us have acquaintances, maybe even family members, that we listen to instead of the voice of God, and they mess us up. Just like listening to the voice of Eve. And as a result of that, lead us into sin. Then we fear God's sight. We're ashamed of God's holy evaluation of where we are. See, God doesn't bring conviction to make you miserable. God brings you conviction to bring you to repentance. To bring you to repentance. And yes, there are consequences of your sin, but God has brought his voice to you to bring you back to himself. And the Lord said, so you're naked, all right? Let's cover you. Let's cover you. That's exactly what the Lord wants to do. He wants to cover your sin. Thank the Lord that the picture of God covering them was seen in verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God, there it is again, Jehovah, make coats of skins and clothed them. And so we see then that God makes provision to cover sin. For us that know Christ as our personal Savior, God made provision to cleanse us of our sin. And that, of course, points us back to the cross. My friend, have you ever trusted Christ as your personal Savior? Have you ever trusted him to have your sin forgiven? Because once your sin is forgiven, that's when the peace, that's when the joy comes. And what a precious privilege it is then to be able to live a life of peace and joy and happiness and purpose. You see, so many times people say, I really don't understand what my purpose in life is. It's because you have not really come to the Word of God and asked the Lord, Lord, what do you have in mind for me? Because when God saves you, you become God's personal possession. Isaiah 43 tells us that. Isaiah 43 and verse 1, but now thus saith the Lord God that created thee. Do you see that? There's the Lord, L-O-R-D, all caps. That's Jehovah. Thus saith the Lord God that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. My precious friend, God wants to save you. He wants to forgive your sin. And then once you've been saved, then you begin to live a life of purpose. Because verse 2 says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God. There he is again, Jehovah, the Lord God. My precious friend, when you're facing the hardest times of your life, study the names of God. In doing so, you'll be able to discover who God is. Not what God gives you, but who God is. And when you discover that, just his personal presence will be enough to encourage your heart, strengthen your will, and cause you to look to him, calling upon his name, Lord God, Jehovah, you will be my strength. I trust these studies have been a blessing to you. If we can help you in any way here at Brookside Baptist, I trust that you'll contact us and let us know how we can pray for you and try to be of assistance to you. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.